There's so much going on in the world today, that is for sure. There's a lot of pressure, a lot of violence, a lot of stress, a lot of influence, wrong influence. And church, we need to be in a time of really walking with God and relying on His presence. And I want to talk tonight about, as you see on the screen, His strength must become our strength. That when we try to walk in our own abilities, we find out we fail every time. When we walk in our own desires, even, we fail at all times. But when our desires line up with God's will and our strength is based upon God's strength in us, then all of a sudden we can overcome those battles. We can win those battles. We can endure those storms. Even if you're going through a storm right now, with the strength of God, somehow you just can bear it and get through it. You ever wonder sometimes how you're still making it? You ever say, how have I stood all this time? How have I made it? How have I really got through what I've gotten through without just going bonkers or, you know, just losing it? It's because God's strength is there. And it comes in those moments that we need it the very most. You know, when you lose a loved one, I guess in the human nature, that's the most desperate, lonely time of a human's existence, when they lose a loved one, spouse, child, parent. You know, it's one of the worst times for us to endure, of burying someone we love. But it's in those times of grief and sorrow and loneliness that we do see God's strength come and bear us up and hold us. If we base it on our own strength, we'll be a basket case. But if we say, God, I need your help, He says, I'm here. My grace is sufficient, as we'll read here in a minute. I want to talk about Paul. Both scriptures we'll read out of tonight, Paul wrote 2 Corinthians and 2 Timothy. Paul was a man I admire very much. And Paul, to me, as Melanie said, when you've been there and done that, you can pass that on. I look at Paul's life, and all you can think about when you see Paul's life is truly the grace of God. Paul was a very bad man, a very evil man, a very vindictive man, a very violent man. A man that, if he was living today, none of us would say, oh, he's going to heaven. He was bad. But on his road being bad, God changed him. And Paul was immediately converted and changed by the Holy Spirit, and his heart was changed. It wasn't just his thoughts were changed or his mind was changed. His heart was changed. He had an inward manifestation of the real grace and transformation of God's power in his life. And we still need that. And we're still going to see that. And in church, I believe we're going to experience that in this season, in this time. We think of the days of yesterday. We think of testimonies of old. But you know what? It's time to create some new testimonies. It's time to create some new things that we say, God healed me of this. God delivered me of this. God saved me from this. Just like Amanda's child that we all stood and prayed for last week. And here she is now, her last chance, her last possible hope she's going to give it. And boom, God shows up. That's the hand of God. We can't discount the power and the moving of hands of God in this generation. We can't discount it because people don't think it happens anymore or because God doesn't move that way anymore. If we will rely on the strength of God for our lives, that means He can give us whatever we need. If it's healing for our body, a saving of our marriage, deliverance of our kids, our chains being broke, whatever binds us, the strength of God's enough to say, yes, I've got this. I can carry you. I can help you. I can rescue you. I'm still God, no matter what. But we're not in that same season as of yesterday. And I realize we've changed seasons. Here's the problem with many people. We don't move along where God wants to go. Think of Elisha and Elijah. Thank you. Thank you, Sunday school teacher. Elisha. You remember Elijah about to leave the earth, and Elisha was following him, and he kept telling him, "Stay here. Just wait on me. I'll come back." No, will you go, Elijah? I'm going. See, Elisha wanted to always be where Elijah was. We should have that same desire. God, I want to be where you're at. Yes, you were there in 1965. Yes, you were there in 1983. Yes, you were there in 1994. But God, I know you're still in 2015, and I need you now in this season of my life. I need your strength. And church, I believe God is opening some doors here. Y'all can see it. I mean, you see the faces coming. You see Sunday morning. You see the change of what God is doing. And I'm excited about that. It's things that God's fulfilling. And it's going to go forward. And I believe there's going to be, I was thinking about this today over here, that God is still in the miracle business. God still does miracles. God can still immediately heal something that is broken. Immediately. God can deliver the addict right there. Just deliver it completely. God's still there. But we got to rely on God's strength and not our own strength. Not trying to do it our own way, but truly pray, God, help me. Let your strength become my strength. For when your strength becomes my strength, I'm now operating in your power, not my own power. And God's power is able to overcome. So let's start in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning with verse 7. It says, I'm in 1 Corinthians, excuse me. I knew that wasn't right. Sorry. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Now, I want to talk about this just for a second. This was not something God gave Paul. If you read what it says, what does it say? A messenger of Satan. Now, God allows things. But God is not the cause of evil. Satan had attacked Paul, and there's been many scholars to speculate what this issue Paul had. Some say it's an eye condition he had. Some say it was epilepsy, a kind of physical problem that he could not get healed from. But he said it was a messenger of Satan that was there to always come against him. For this thing, Paul says, I besought the Lord, I sought God three times, that it might depart from me. But look what God said back to Paul. After Paul prayed three times, Lord, take it away from me. He said, My grace is sufficient for you. My grace is all you need. My strength is all you need. My peace is all you need. My love is all you need. Now, the word grace, I looked that up in my concordance in the original Greek text, and it really changes the impact of this verse to me. The word grace, one of the things from grace in the original Greek, one of the phrases that comes out of it, is divine influence upon your heart. Divine influence upon the heart. So God is saying, my divine influence is enough. It's all you need. My divine influence on your heart is all you need. So what was God saying? I'm not taking it away. But you're still going to be okay. You're going to be able to bear this because I'm with you. And when those things come, you're going to have strength to keep going forward. You know, I know Joe Brown has physical problems for many years. And God has healed Joe of some things, and he shared stories. I mean, you know, the ulcers that were eating you up years ago, you shared was a powerful testimony of how God just took all that away from you. But you know what? Joe Brown still has pain. All the pain not been taken away from him. He's not been physically healed of all of his pain. But you know what? God's grace is sufficient for his life. And though he's in pain, the greater reward of knowing Jesus and his presence living inside of him far outweighs the outward pain he suffers. When we know who lives inside of us, when we know what our promise is, when we know who God really is, when we know what our future holds, all of a sudden we gain strength from that. Because see, Joe Brown realizes this is temporary pain. It's temporary. Yeah, my feet hurt when I can feel them. Yes, there's issues I have. Yes, I walk a little slower. Yes, I cringe a little bit more. Yes, I crack and pop like Rice Krispies some days maybe. But you know what? It's all temporary. It's going to give way to a greater glory of divine complete healing for my body. A restored, perfect, in God's image, body one day. with no more pain and no more slowness and no more cracking and popping and no more suffering. And the thorn that buffets him now will one day be removed. But in the meantime, what does God do? He gives us strength to endure. He just gives us strength to endure. We go through a lot of things in life. We suffer. As Christians, and I think sometimes it gets us off guard. Well, Lord, I'm saved. I'm a Christian. You letting this happen to me? What is up with that? Really? Do you know who I am? I love you. I serve you. And you're letting things happen? You're letting my kid be a bad kid or my marriage be a broken marriage or I got cancer? Are you kidding me? Why, God? And those are questions that's hard to answer when you bury people or see people that you know love God and are faithful stewards of His Word that suffer. But through that, there's some kind of inner strength that if we'll lean on God and say, God, I don't want my strength. And sometimes it's those pitfalls or those low places or those valleys that point us to a higher power of strength above ourselves that say, God, I can't do it. And He finally says, thank you. That's what I've been waiting to hear. Now I can help you. Until we say, God, I can't do it, guess what? He's going to let us do it. And man, what a burden we carry. That's why He says, come all you that are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Oh, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. Why? Because He takes it off of us. You're out shopping with your wife, right, or go to the grocery store if you're a good gentleman. You don't let her carry the bags outside. Here, I got that. Here, give me those bags. I'll carry them. I'll carry that gallon of milk and that big old cat litter box that makes your arm 10 inches longer. I'll carry that. I got it, baby. Why do I do that to Melanie? Not because she just had surgery. I've always done that for Melanie. I don't want her to carry that heavy stuff. That's my job to carry the heavy stuff. That's what I'm about. I'm a heavy stuff carrier. AKA. That's what I do. I don't want her carrying it because I want to take that burden off of her. I'm trying to move something sometimes or haul some out of the house. She wants to get, and she's not lazy. She gets in and tries to just, I'll get it, get away. I carried a TV out of our basement by myself. Man, I still don't know how it got out of there. That thing was, I don't know how big it was. It was the old tube TVs where the back end was wide as a transfer truck. And somehow I got that thing out of the basement by myself. I still don't know how either, but I just grabbed it and carried it. And I was like, oh my gosh. I'm like, I'm a stud. You didn't know how steady I was, did you? I know. I got out. No problems. But I was like, I got it. I want to carry it. God wants to carry it. He don't want you carrying all the burdens of life. That's why He says, cast all your burden upon me in 1 Peter. Why? Because I care for you. See, when you love somebody, you want to carry their burden. You want to carry their burden. You want to lift it off of them. You want to make their life as easy as possible when you love someone. God loves us. So He says, I want to carry your burden. I don't want you worried about what Walmart's doing. Who cares about Walmart? I'm bigger than Walmart. I'm God, and I'm even bigger than Walmart. Wow, that's saying something, man, bigger than Walmart. And God's got a lot more customers than Walmart's got, too. So God wants to lift it off of us. So He says, Paul, I hear your prayer, but you know what? Instead of taking it away from you, I'm going to give you strength to go through it. Now, why? What's the purpose of that? I think many times the main purpose of that is that we depend upon God. Because see, if we get so into ourselves where there's no problems, no issues, no battles, no storms, the perfect lollipop, leave it to Beaver, Wally Cleaver world, you know what? We don't turn to God. We don't turn to God. I guarantee you, Brenda, since Gene's passed away, you've turned to God quite a bit, haven't you? Talk to Him. Talk to Him. Talk his ear off. Just talk God's ear off. He's probably trying to go, oh, it's Brenda again. Oh, I'll silence her. Since Grandpa's died, Grandma's talked to God and probably been through all the cycles of grief. You know, you get angry and you maybe blame and you don't understand. And then you go back to, you know, you cry. Then maybe even laugh for joy. Then you've got peace and you don't have peace. Then you're lonely. Then you're not lonely. Just going back and forth. You're a mess of emotions. But during all that, we're talking to God. That's the purpose. The main purpose is that we depend upon Him. He lets us know. It's like the law versus grace. You know, the purpose of the law was never to save us. The law was to point us to a point that we needed to be saved, and the law wasn't enough to do it. The law was always in place to point us to I can't keep these commandments, God. Exactly. I can't keep all these laws. Exactly. So then what do I do, God, if I can't keep these laws? You trust me. You trust I'm enough to get you to heaven. So the same way with our burdens. Give them to God. You know, and I know it's easier said than done. Easy to say that. But man, if we could just learn to let God lift that off of us and say, Lord, no more in my strength am I going to try to make things work, because I can't. I'm going to let your strength become my strength and let you just take over my situation. So his grace is sufficient. Then it says, it is made, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Whose weakness? Our weakness. How is God's strength greatest seen? When we're weak? When we're broken, we can't take no credit for it. We're in such a lowly place that we know the only way it happened was by the hand of God. When we are so weak in ourselves, when we get to a point of exhaustion and to the finish line and say, no more, God, I can't do it no more. Then we're allowed to see his glory appear in our lives in a deeper, more impactful way than ever before, because we're out of the way. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, when your kids always, you know, they ask you a question, and while you're trying to answer them, they keep talking. Well, let me answer you. I can't answer if you keep talking. That's us. We keep talking to God, and he's trying to, but, well, if you, well, Sharon, if you, Sharon, Cheryl, Miss B, can you, Sharon, I'm trying to talk to you. Then all of a sudden we get to the point, God, why haven't you answered? Because you haven't let me. Are you ready to listen now? Yes, I'm ready. Because God's E.F. Hutton and we're everybody else. If you're old enough to remember that commercial, you're pretty old. When E.F. Hutton speaks, everybody listens. That was an old commercial, real estate commercial, I believe, wasn't it? Yeah, E.F. Hutton. When God speaks, we better be listening. But we can't listen and talk at the same time. So we're trying to be our own strength, trying to do it our way. I got this, God. Don't need it. I got it. Then God just lets us have it. But once we say, you know what? When I'm weak, then God's strength is made perfect, complete, matures in our lives, and we see God for who we... Think about Moses. Moses didn't have a choice. Moses was leading them people out of Egypt. Everybody's singing Amazing Grace, How Great Thou Art. You know, I'll fly away. I mean, they're having a good time. Singing all these songs. Marching along. They got all this gold, all these animals. They're not slaves anymore. They've been delivered. Pharaoh's been punished. Oh, my gosh. They're God's people. Moses is trucking along. Hey, this is easier than I thought it'd be. Then all of a sudden, Red Sea. Well, we'll turn around and go a different way. Pharaoh's army. Okay, God. I got water over my head in front of me. And I got swords behind me. Is this a joke, God? Am I being filmed? Am I on candid camera? What do I do? Moses had no choice. The only choice he had was to let God move. Lord, what do I do? Just raise your rod and watch what happens. Just raise your staff. I'll take care of it. As Moses lifted that staff, the wind picked up, the cloud began to move, and the weather began to change, and the water wept up, and God created a dry path in the middle of the Red Sea for them to cross over. Because Moses' strength was not his own at all. He was totally dependent upon God's strength. Every account in the Bible read about, it all comes down to that. David and Goliath, same thing. Daniel and Lion, same thing. Three Hebrew children, same thing. All of it was about God's strength, not their own strength. God's strength preserving them and keeping them and promoting them and blessing them. All about God's strength. It says that my strength's made perfect in weakness most gladly. Look at this. How many of us feel this way? Most gladly will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. In other words, the weaker I am, the stronger God looks. The more lowly I am, the higher God's exalted. The more pitiful situation I'm in, the more glory God gets. And that's really what it should be about. The glory of God. Because we don't have anything we have but by the hand of God. our homes, our cars, our clothes, our food, our heat, our air, our health, our families, our money, our jobs. None of that is on our own strength. It all is by the hand of a loving God that meets our needs. I was thinking today over here, I said, you know, God, really, we always want more because you never have enough. I don't care how human, you just never can have enough. But I was thinking, God, every day you meet my needs. I eat every day. My bills are paid every month. I got clothes to wear every day. I got a family and a wife and my health. Every day you meet my needs, God. May not be what I want. I could always use a little bit more. So if you can see it my way, God, to slide me an extra, 20. That's all right. But you know what? You're meeting my needs. You truly are meeting my needs. And I begin to think about how everything that I've had throughout my life, from the parents God gave me, to the wife God gave me, to the children God gave me, to the ministry that God has given all of us, I begin to think all this was by your hand, and only by your hand, God. It's only by your hand. We cannot allow ourselves to think somehow our strength, our abilities have created and built the empires we live in. They've not. By the grace of God, He's blessed. This church, I guess because of what's going on now and the future of what I see coming, which I'm very excited about, we're looking to think today about how this ministry was so birthed by the hand of God. It was just so birthed. It's like it came out of nowhere. It wasn't planned, not by me, but it was planned by God. And how God has truly blessed this congregation, how many churches our size through the years that wouldn't have made it past 2 or 3 years of existence. How many churches have been around many, many years longer that are struggling and barely making it and closing the doors? And how good God has been to us and the favor God has shown us. It's really been amazing. The people God has sent to our lives to give and to support the ministry with their money, support it with their time, support it with their talents through the years. How God has just raised up people to bless the church. And how He's raised people to bless me and Melanie through the years. Been amazing, and I give God all the glory for that. And this church would not exist, this ministry would not be here at all without the hand of God, without the strength of God guiding it, because it is a very stressful calling. And there's days and there's years and there's months and there's seasons you go through to where you just question a lot of things. And it's in those times I question that God sends that rainbow in the sky, or God sends that new person to the church, or God sends that special gift into my life that reminds me, hey, I'm in this. Don't you give up. You keep going forward. I'm in this. Don't you get discouraged. I'm in this. They're hearing. They're listening. They're being changed. I'm changing their hearts. I'm thankful we have this place, church. It's a precious thing to have. And I think what bothers me as a pastor is that so many people, especially on the midweek service, are letting the opportunity to go by of not being here to hear the message that God has. They're not hearing the message that God had, because there's a lot of people who need to be here tonight to hear this message that are fighting in their own strength, and they're failing over and over and over, fighting it in their own strength over and over and over. You know how many Facebook posts I see of people posting negative things or posting things, I don't know how I'm going to make it, I don't know what I'm going to do, or I'm just tired of the struggle. I'm telling you not how to quit struggling. Put it in God's hands. I mean, let God's strength become your strength, because your strength's not enough. I don't care how strong you think you are, it's not enough. Your strength wears out. You get chipped away before you know it. You are bankrupt and broken emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. But when you let God deposit all of Himself into all of you, it builds you up. His strength is what we need. By the hand of God, we live. Next verse, sir. Look at Paul here. He goes on to say this. I can also say I've never said this in my life to God. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, reproaches, necessities, in persecution, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Paul was saying, you know what? Anything that I'm doing for the Lord, whatever that brings against my life, I take joy in it. Because you know what? When I'm so broken and I'm so weak, but yet God's hand still on me, that's who they see. They don't see me. They see God. They see the Father in me. And that's what we should be pointing everybody to, the God that's in us. Not about us. Never been about us. It's about pointing people to the God that wants to save us, letting all glory be given to him. Paul says, when I am weak, when I become to such a point that I have no more hope, I'm tired, I'm done, then all of a sudden, I'm strong. You know why what he's talking about? That when he gets to the point of that kind of weakness, he has nothing left but God's power and God's strength. So he calls upon him, God, I'm weak, I need you. Then all of a sudden, the strength he's been waiting on, the strength that he needs so desperately, it comes into our lives because we have gotten out of the way. We just, you know, there's things in my own life that I've gone through and Melanie has gone through, and we look back and we're like, man, we got through that. And we look back and we know that it was the strength of God that got us through. People that are dying as Christians and are going through pain and cancer, and, you know, so many of them are so positive. I've been at their bedside, so positive, because their strength's not in them, it's coming from God. And I know Joe Brown would be one of those people. If Joe Brown was on his deathbed tonight, he wouldn't be whining about dying. You know what Joe Brown would be telling me? If tonight was his last night on earth, the doctor said, you got 10 minutes to live, Joe Brown would be saying, son, you preach that word. You keep that church going. And you take care of Sharon. You make sure you take care of her and get her here and keep her in church. And you keep preaching. Because I'm going to my reward, son. I'm going to dance. And you'll see me soon. That would be what he would say. He would be going, why me, Pastor Jay? Why me? Why not Sharon? Why me? He wouldn't be saying that. That's a joke. I'm just saying some folks are that selfish. I mean, you know. He wouldn't be saying, I've served you, God, all my life. I've told the church, I've told in the haircut shop, I've told about the church, about you, Lord, and I've witnessed in the Best Buy, and I've witnessed at Food Line, and I've witnessed at Walmart, and why me? That's not Joe Brown. His testimony is this. I'm going home. I'm getting my reward. Son, you keep preaching. You take care of that church. You keep leading people to Jesus. And it won't be long, I'll be seeing you. And we'll catch up on what all happens. I've been gone. That's Joe's testimony. See, when you got the strength of God in you, that carries you. Oh, it carries you. Just like the beautiful poem, Footprints. God's carrying you. You know? Two sets of footprints in the sand, the man says. Said, Lord, you're with me every step of the way. But then when I hit the lowest point of my life, when I got the darkest season, the second set of footprints went away in the sand, and there was only one set of footprints. Where'd you go? The darkest time, you weren't there. Oh, yeah, I was there. I was carrying you. That's why the one set of footprints went away. I was carrying you. Sometimes we tend to forget how close and how watchful God truly is in our lives. How watchful. How many accidents has he kept us from since we've been born? I mean, how many times a transfer truck not hit you because God was there? How many times? How many times has disease not come into your body because God was there? No cancer. Mm-mm. How many times a heart attack was spared because God said, nope, not that. Mm-mm. How many times your child come home off the school bus safe for 12 years of their life, from kindergarten to graduation, and they come home safe their whole life? We take those things for such granted, but when any of us go out the door, there is no guarantee of life. We'll come back to that same door that day. But the hand of God preserves us. Go to the next scripture. I want to read one more scripture. It's in 2 Timothy. Church, this is very powerful to me. I read this at a lot of funerals. I read this scripture. But I want to read it in a non-funeral environment tonight because it has a great message. 2 Timothy was the last letter that Paul wrote before he was martyred. He was in prison when he wrote this letter. Locked up, already in prison, waiting his execution. This letter was written, from what people say, probably within a few weeks of his death. And I want you to look what Paul says. He's in prison. He's locked up. He knows he's going to be executed, beheaded, you know, killed just because of his faith. No crime he committed because of his faith in Jesus. He gives us a charge here, church, a charge. The last wedding I did for John and Brandy, I gave them a charge, each one of them a charge as husband and wife. Charged them with what their responsibilities were according to Scripture. Paul was given a charge right here to us. Here he is about to die. His letter is not saying, why me, Lord? I've been good. I've built all these churches, and I've spread your gospel, and I've been beaten, stoned, and whipped, and shipwrecked. Why me, God? Why me? No, look what he says. I charge you before God. I'm declaring, I'm telling you. And the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Here's the charge. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. He's on his way out. He's dying for preaching. That's why he's being killed, for preaching. And what is he telling us to do? Keep preaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. They're not enduring it now. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Tell me what I want to hear, preacher, not what I need to hear. Tell me what makes my flesh feel good and my spirit not feel too bad. Tell me, preacher, what fits into my lifestyle, because, man, things have changed. And, you know, I don't want to hear the stuff about sexual immorality anymore because, well, I'm living with my person, not married, and I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear about homosexuality because that's a big wave movement right now, and that, you know, everybody's doing that too. So I don't want to hear about that, and you know, I don't want to hear about talking about people or gossiping because, well, you know, that's my one kind of thing. I kind of like talking, so don't talk about the tongue too much, and I'll keep giving my offering. You know, we can pick and choose what we don't want to hear. And Paul says, preach, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering, because there's going to be a generation of people that don't want to hear what you got to say. And they don't now. There is no wrong, especially, of course, the younger you are, the more liberal most time you are. And so for our young generation, 18 to 30, I mean, their set of values is completely different than my set of values. Completely. And they're way different than my parents' set of values, and way more different than my grandparents' set of values. Completely different, because what's normal to our 18-year-olds now was abhorrent to us at 18. Abhorrent. We didn't even speak of those things. We didn't associate with those things. They were a taboo, so to speak, right? And now it's wide open, in your face, deal with it, or I don't care. This is who I am, live it, like it, don't matter. I'm rubbing it in your face like a coconut cream pie. This is who I am. What you going to do about it? And before, man, we was like, wow. And so we've got a generation that Paul was saying, encouraging all of us, not just me as a pastor, but all of us that are Christians. Look, be instant in season, out of season, whatever that call is in your life. You feel God speak to you, you speak it. You do it. You obey. You keep preaching the word, no matter if they don't want to hear it or not. It's like your kids. You don't think your kids are hearing, but they're so hearing. They're so hearing. They act like they don't hear, but they hear. They roll their eyes, they're hearing. They're talking over you. They're hearing you. Hanging their head down. They're hearing you. Got their earphones in, you know, bopping around. They're hearing you. You don't believe me? Test them sometime. Say, you want $20? Huh? Yeah. Yeah, they're hearing you. Say something else they don't like. Oh, well, I didn't hear, clean my room. Oh, I didn't hear you say clean my room. Yeah, so do the $20 trick. See what they do. It's funny. They shall turn away their ears from the truth. And we are. We have a whole new set of values in this country. And I say values loosely. That people are now holding on to. Because they've turned from truth. What once used to be sin is no longer in their eyes sin. You know, it still is. Sin hasn't changed. There's a pattern that God wants us to follow for our own good, not for control. Why do you tell your kids, don't do drugs, don't start smoking, don't start drinking, you know, don't do all this? Why do you teach your kids those rules? Because none of those things produce anything good in their lives. Nothing. You think the person been smoking 30 years ever says, boy, I'm glad I started smoking 30 years ago. It's wonderful. I love it. No. Did the person who took the first drink that can't stop drinking now ever said, man, I'm glad that guy gave me that Bud Light, changed my life? Yeah, it did. We do those things to our kids not to control them, but because we love them. The book of Proverbs has a very good verse. I love it. I use it all the time with parents. I love this verse. It's what it says. I can't quote exactly where it's at. I'm pulling a Melanie on you. But it's in Proverbs. It says, a father that doesn't correct his son hates his son. Hates him. So for all the parents, well, I don't want, you know, I want to be their friend. They don't need a friend. They got enough loser friends. They need a parent to kick their hind end and remind them what's important and what's at stake. Well, God's the same way. God loves us so much. He gave us his word for our good. That's why the Bible talks about sexual morality, because we know sexual morality leads to no good. I mean, it causes problems. We know that drunkenness, as the Bible talks about, causes problems. We know that riotous living, as the Bible speaks of, causes problems. So it's important we follow the word of God, not because God's some kind of control freak. He'll do what I say because I am God. It's more of a loving father. I love you. And I have this in place because it's a simple principle of life. You do certain things, guess what? You reap certain things. You do other certain things, you reap other good things. So the Bible speaks of that. You know, whatever we sow, we shall reap. That's a simple principle of life. And Paul is talking about they're not going to hear the truth. They're going to turn away from the truth, and they are, and they shall be turned into fables. But watch thou in all things, endure the afflictions. Look what he says. It didn't say God will take them all away. Endure the afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. And that's all of our, that's really all of our job, is to evangelize God's word in whatever way God gives us. Make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Paul knew he's about to die. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course, and I have kept the faith. Why am I tying this scripture in tonight, this message? Because Paul was all about God's strength right here. Even his dying moments of knowing he will be. How many of us, and I'm sure he had fear. He wasn't looking forward to it. It wasn't like he woke up saying, whoo, three more days to. It wasn't like he was happy about it. But he's taking time to still write God's word and remind us, be strong. Endure afflictions. Make full proof of the ministry. Watch for all things. Don't be turned into a fable. You know, keep sound doctrine. Keep preaching the truth. Paul's strength in his dying moments was coming from God's strength. Because most of us would be, I mean, can you imagine knowing you're going to die? Your date on the calendar was getting closer and closer. The last thing you think you'd be doing would be writing encouraging words to other people. Be trying to write the governor to get a stay of execution. Right, Mr. Governor, I'm really not a bad person. Save me. He's writing to us. Last verse. He knows his reward. Look at this. Henceforth, because I've kept the faith, because I've finished the course, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but also to Joe and Sharon Brown, Jeremy and Stacy Wallace, Dave and Diane Lewis, and even Tony Cook. All, look at this, shall give it that day, and not to me, but to all them that love his appearing, to all that have placed their faith in Christ, who love the Lord God. He has promised a crown of righteousness. That's it, right? Paul's strength was not his own. He relied completely on God's strength. Let God's strength, church, become your strength. And when times are tough, when the ride is rough, God is enough. I just made that up. That's pretty good. I just came out. Absolutely. God's enough. Let his strength become your strength. And don't be afraid to take that step God is leading you to take, no matter how much you think it may hurt, how much it may change your life or affect you. If God is leading you, trust him and say, Lord, in your strength I go. In your strength I'll obey. In your strength I'll take that step forward, whatever it is in my life you got, and embrace it. It is God's strength that gets us through. All right, that is the message for tonight. I hope you were blessed by it and encouraged by it. Hope you enjoyed it. We need God's strength to face what's coming to our nation. what's coming upon this land. So much around us, church. There's so much in the future yet to be unfolded. And without God's strength, we're not able to get through it. I mean, it's that simple. We're going to have to rely on the hand of God to get us through this. Tribulation times. Because we are going through some tribulating times now. And we're going to see it increase and increase and increase. It's after our kids, after our homes, after our minds. You know, even the most seasoned Christian, the enemy is still attacking. You think because you've been saved 40 years, that makes you... No. No. My grandma says something, and she won't be embarrassed me saying this, but it's a great example tonight to use. My grandma has been saved since she was a teenage girl. Strong in the Lord her whole life. Her faith strong and, you know, has loved God for many, 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 many years. When Grandpa first died, she came up here to get prayed for one morning. She said, "I feel bad. I've been mad at God for this." Now, here's seasoned Grandma, Holy Ghost dancing Grandma, who is being challenged with grief so deep that temporarily it overshadowed her faith, just temporarily. And it seemed a little bit bigger. God, why? I don't like this. I'm mad. But then God brought the healing and the peace she needed. The enemy is always going to attack. Always going to come after us. We're never to a point we say, "I'm there." Not until we're there. Not to where Paul is talking about right here. Will we ever achieve that moment? So the enemy is attacking. Be strong in this generation. Do not compromise what God has shown you. Do not compromise what you believe for anybody or anything. Don't compromise it. Hang on to it like a bulldog. Hang on to it. Don't let anybody take it away from you. Because the world's trying hard, I mean hard, to influence you. Don't let it. Let His grace, divine influence of God's anointing, be your guide. And we'll stand. There's a generation that's going to stand. It's a generation, church, that God's glory is going to be poured upon in such a way. And I still believe this. I said a few months ago, there are going to be people that's going to be seeking a deliverance from spiritual bondage. I mean, I'm not talking about a good, warm, feeling, fuzzy kind of religious church service. I'm talking about there are going to be people that are going to be knocking down the doors of those that will not compromise and say, "Yes, Jesus can deliver you." The same Holy Ghost that set you free can set them free. That's not died, and that's coming. I see people that are in such darkness searching for such light. Is there light for me? Yes, there is. Oh, there's light for you. When God formed this church, I'll say this, I know it's a little bit past, I'll say this in closing. When God first formed this church, and I've shared it before, we started at the fire department. I came from a very well-to-do, well-dressed church, very traditional as far as dress. Suits, dresses, women didn't wear pants. My God, you've been thrown out. Didn't wear pants. You know, men dressed up. Guys didn't come in long hair, pierced up, tattooed. Ooh, I mean, none of that happened. So we first started a church, the fire department. People started coming. But you know what? They didn't look like the ones I went to church with. They started coming in, you know, tattoos here and here. And piercings in places I don't want to talk about. What in the world? Like a pincushion. Coming in shorts and sandals. And I'm sitting there going, "My God." I remember praying. I said, "God, what do I do with these people?" Now, remember, my preacher would, I'm telling you, my preacher today would have a heart attack walking here on Sunday morning. I said, "What do I do with them?" He said, "Preach to them." He spoke it so clearly. Preach to them. And that's what I've done ever since. And it absolutely does not matter to me, any of that at all. It just doesn't matter to me. It's so non-important to me. Because God died for the soul of man and for the heart. And so, that's what we're here for. And I can't tell you the stories we hear of people that come for the first time and tell me and Melanie over and over and over. I mean, just recently, several people, I knew people said, man, I walked in, I felt at home the first service. When I walked in, there was one lady shared a few weeks ago, said she felt the anointing before the service even started. She walked in to sit down, and before it even started, she felt this anointing in the building. That's God. And that's what people are hungry for, is a true moving of God, not entertainment. If you want to be entertained, you're in the wrong church. We don't sell popcorn and Dr. Pepper here. We promote Jesus. And if that's not enough, there's plenty of Dr. Pepper and popcorn other places. But we're going to stay focused on giving God the glory. That's the only way healing happens, salvation happens, and deliverance happens, when God gets the glory. Period. So y'all be praying about the future. I'm excited. We got some opportunities coming up that I'll share more later if things evolve the way they could. And just believe God is meshing all things together right now at a certain time for some things to happen. And I'm excited. It's time. It's time. And see, I want to see some of these older folks been with me since the beginning, like Joe and Sharon and my parents and grandma. People's been with me since the very beginning. I want to see some new visions be birthed in your eyes here on the earth. I want to see that so bad. I thought about that. God, I want to see some visions birthed while they're here. While they're here. I want to see the vision come forth to where I was a part of that. I was a part of that. You know, for those in the fire department, this becomes the big building. We're in the big building now. Well, for some of you, this will be the small building. You know, Amanda will be like, I was in a small building. Small building. Joe, no, I was in a small building. That's how it works. So I'm excited about that. Do what? Yeah, he was a church on wheels. Silver Fox. Had that gray van. Old Matt would load up that equipment. Drive me crazy. Where you want this? Right there, Matt. Arrowhead, where you want this? Right there, Matt. Here, I'll just get it. Bless his heart. Oh, man. Anybody got anything to say before we close out tonight? No, we went over a little bit. Thank you for your time. I just want to share it. Thank you. Thank you. Something about God's strength just helps us, don't it? Couldn't have made it without it. All right. You good, Jeremy? Stayed awake on me tonight? Good job. He always stays awake. I'm just kidding. All right, well, let's stand up. We'll close out in prayer. If you have your offering tonight or tithes to give, after we pray, come up and put that in the offering plate. Hope to see you Sunday morning, bright and early, 10 o'clock, ready to roll. Father, we thank you for the encouraging word. We thank you for this message that even today, written so many years ago, we still can draw such great strength from. You are our strength, God. As we let you be our strength, we become strong. I pray for those in here tonight that are battling problems and weaknesses, that are just at the end of their rope. They're at the end, and they're ready to just let go. When they let go, God, when their palms release from that rope, you are there to take over. And that's when the breakthrough, and that's when the help will come. And I just pray that in their lives, that they have faith enough to let go of that rope and say, God, catch me. As they do that, God, you will show up and your glory will be manifest in such a marvelous way. Thank you, Father, for this place we have to worship and for the future that you've got in store for us. Bless the seed that is sown tonight. Lord, continue to just bring the seed in, God, for what the plans are for our future, that we will be able to meet those needs as you keep sending the people, Lord, into our lives. We thank you. We praise you for all you are. In Jesus' name, amen.